redownloaded DaVinci Resolve, and so I'm going to do it there.
Wait, so you mean like to edit it to make it usable for the reels or whatever the fuck?
Yeah, I want to do those big, stupid block captions that everyone uses on like TikTok to promote their stuff. Because I feel like that is what we're missing. We're missing really diving into promotion through social media.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's 100%. Well, I don't know if you want to say 100%, but a substantial thing. Like, it's obviously, I guess it's not the most difficult thing because retards do it, but it's also like a lot of these people either have a genuine interest in doing this brain dead shit or they just hire people to do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't exactly know how like hiring somebody for just that goes. I should look into getting a guy on Fiverr, an Indian guy on Fiverr to do that, actually.
Yeah, just have him fuck it up and put like Indian music over every clip so you can't hear us.
Prakash, for years you've been going to the toilet in the street. Your punishment will be to listen to all 200 hours of the Western Promises podcast and create highlight reels.
We need a Western Promises Indian division.
I think
outsource our podcasts.
I think I literally started a Western Promises India account once and was trying to hire people just to, I was like, you don't have to listen to the show, maybe listen to like a little bit of it, but I was like, just make memes based on like the 15 minutes you listen to it. Like, they don't have to be super relevant, just try. And so a couple people did it, but they did not follow instructions. They like literally only took our names and the name of the show. And so it was like, Kevin, you can't be a cowboy, I'm a cowboy. And then the bottom text was like, Western Promises.
That's pretty good though. it's pretty good. Really funny. Yeah, appealing to an audience of no one except for us with that with that shit.
Uh-huh. But yeah, the idea of outsourcing like social media management to somebody that has no idea what they're doing as far as like the context of the show is pretty funny.
Yeah, it you know, thinking about it, I think us collectively probably have enough money that we could at least test hire someone that maybe is competent or not competent. That's obviously funny too. And just have them put together like clips, and especially ones where you can put like some sort of images or like video over it, you know, exploit the fucking stupid algorithm.
Yeah, I wonder, let's see. Social media manager.
Search people on LinkedIn. Talk to like CEOs of companies.
I'm just doing it on Fiverr. I'm going to see who find the absolute cheapest person.
Hold on, my fucking annoying animals are trying to get in. 1 second.
Yeah, no worries.
All right, we can edit out that silence. But yeah, okay. My dog had his toy goose outside my door and was smacking it and then ran away. So
they should make a like a Air Bud, like Saw Air Bud, where he's mad at the neighborhood animals, and so he puts them into traps and, you know, situations.
Yeah. And strong anti-pit bull messaging.
Sinister situations.
Yeah, that was a fun movie, the new one, Saw, yeah. Sex, as it's known.
Yeah, so I saw it. I went by myself, and I had a horrible fucking experience. I bought a ticket for like, it's not IMAX. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's some like
4D
fancy.
Get chopped up while you watch it. Yeah.
It's not 4D. It's just like slightly fancier theater. And so it's like these big cushy reclining seats, and there's like a lot of leg room.
Oh yeah, those. I know what you mean.
But it fucking sucked because there was so much cushion in the like head rest of the seat that it pushed my neck really forward the entire time I was watching the movie. Like, no matter what position I put the reclining chair in, my neck was, I felt like I was in a fucking Saw trap or whatever. It was horrible.
Why the fuck could they have to test those?
Like, I was looking around the theater and like everybody was like shifting around constantly because it was so uncomfortable. And I went by myself, and these two guys walk in like right before it starts and like, hey bro, is this Saw? And I was like, I think so. Yeah.
You should have lied.
Yeah, and this is Paw Patrol.
Yeah, this is Brokeback Mountain 2.
Yeah, this is the Christian edited version of Brokeback Mountain.
It's no queers allowed.
Special matinee. Yeah, they edited it to be straight.
just two guys talking.
There is, dude. My friend bought me A quick digression. My friend bought me for like my birthday or Christmas or something. I forget. This box that you connect to your TV, and I don't know how the fuck it works, but you connect it through your TV and then you set it up and it auto censors shows. It'll like block out curse words. It'll replace the curse words with like other words. It's like this auto censoring mechanism. It's so fucking, I have no idea how it works. I have no idea. It seems like black magic. I haven't used it because it's like, I don't have fucking component cables and shit. Like it'd be a like really big process to get it hooked up to my normal ass TV.
So it's an old device?
Like let me see.
90s era type shit. Yeah, I miss the good old days of censoring on like those TV networks that would just play like slightly older movies that would censor everything. It always had like very stupid bastardizations of curse words on them.
Yeah. The famous one is the tired of these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah, shit like that.
Or in the Big Lebowski, it's like, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. Fuck a stranger in the ass. Okay, yeah, it's called Curse-Free TV. Remove cursing from virtually all TV and movie rentals.
Like haunted ghosts and creatures.
Automatically filters out profanity and other offensive phrases. Works on virtually all television programs and video movies. Strict religious settings. Easily connects to your TV and VCR. Yeah, dude, it's really fucking crazy. And there's something about like religious settings where you can, if you don't want to hear about like other religions or some shit, you can turn that on and it'll like,
how the fuck would that work?
Censor out like Muslim propaganda,
like Jewish, word Jew. Yeah, well, you would think that the families that unironically buy, like, that would have bought that kind of shit. Like, why would you go to the length of buying this to censor movies when you would just not show your kids movies that have that in it?
Mm. So I feel like I can, there were people when I was growing up, it was called fucking Angel Movies or some shit. There was a service where you could buy
Angel in the Outfield.
Yeah, you could buy DVDs that were edited. So you could get like airplane edits of movies. So if you wanted to see like, I don't know, The Matrix or something, which I don't even know what they edited out. Well, I'm not really sure why that movie's R-rated to begin with.
Well, for the record, you can watch certain movies on airplanes that show straight up fucking.
Well, now you can, yeah. But back then, you know, that was the whole thing. Is like, it was kind of like a test whenever I would meet somebody as a Jehovah's Witness kid or young adult. You would talk about movies you liked, and then inevitably, like The Matrix or something would come up, and you would have to say like, "Oh yeah, I saw it, you know, on TV. I watched it on TV, or I watched it on an airplane or something," just to make sure they know you're not watching R-rated movies, which is a big no-no.
Mm. There's not much cursing in The Matrix, is there?
I don't know why The Matrix is R-rated. I feel like it's one of those things where if a movie comes out, I don't know if this is true that much anymore, because I don't know how much people care about ratings. It seems like people don't really care as much anymore. But for a while, it felt like if a movie came out in the summer and it was borderline or whatever, it would be PG-13, because they wanted to get the widest audience possible. And then if a movie came out in the fall or winter, it would be R-rated, like the same movie no matter what the content was. That's one of those fucking weird things where there aren't actual, because it always feels like if they say fuck more than once, it's going to be R-rated, or if they show tits, it's going to be R-rated. But there isn't any actual guidelines for that stuff, like the MPAA or whatever it is, that the governing body that makes those decisions, they don't have any sort of like rules. It's like gut feeling. They sit down in a room and they're all anonymous and they just come up with it on their own.
It's so fucking arbitrary and retarded. Listen to, you know, the cartoon Smiling Friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, at least good, from what I've seen of it.
Yeah,
I was listening to the uploaded like commentary from the two guys who created it, and they like told some interesting story. Well, I think it was probably multiple stories of like where they would try to put certain things in episodes that like Adult Swim, like whatever like associated group, I don't know if they actually worked in Adult Swim, that dealt with like censorship, would tell them to remove. And sometimes it was like extremely arbitrary and it just didn't make sense. you know?
Yeah. And I've heard of like people when they're trying to, if it's like a pretty extreme movie, they're even worried about getting an R rating. They will intentionally put things, they'll release a cut to the reviewers or like the people who are rating it. They'll release a cut that has very explicit stuff that they know is going to get flagged as too extreme for R. That way they will flag that, and the things that they want to keep in will seem less extreme by comparison. So they like game the system a little bit to try to get the result they want.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think games are even weirder too, because they don't expect somebody to, they don't expect the raters to play through an entire game to rate it. So it's on the developers to send them like a reel of like the most graphic content in the game, and have them judge it based on that. So I think some like developers have gotten in trouble in the past for being dishonest with what was in the game. And so they would get like a T rating, or they'd get an M rating when it should be like AO or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. I think that shit's like mattered significantly less over time.
Yeah.
I might be like, I feel like I read this the other day, but like my memory's fucking shit about everything, but wasn't like, probably Mortal Kombat, like the, obviously it was like one of the most controversial games at the time, but also didn't it kind of spur on the rating system?
Yeah, some game like that did. I think that's what like the MSRB was created to deal with Mortal Kombat. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. Even though like, I don't know. It was like games like that have violence, but it's like they could, like a lot of things, it's like there's a lot of like more disgusting and violent and like offensive shit, quote unquote, that existed around that. And then that just happened to be one that like entered the public eye for some reason.
I think it was because it was so popular. I think it was like wildly popular. And it was at a time when it was just like it was seen largely as just a hobby for kids. And so there was this game that showed like pretty brutal violence at the time aimed at kids. And so people, you know, freaked out about it. And so they had to develop this thing to like rate the games to, and then, you know, it was so funny because it matters so little to me now, except when, if there's a movie or something coming out and it, like if the new Fury Road, the new Mad Max movie comes out and it's like PG-13, that like the only time I'll care about it is when it's disappointing to me. Like you want something like that to be R. And so it came out and it was PG-13. That'd be a bummer. But growing up, it was such a nightmare for me because I wasn't allowed to watch R-rated movies or play M-rated games. And so I'd be desperately waiting to see what the like rating of a movie or a game was and just have my hopes dashed when it was M-rated.
Just like print out something that says like E for everyone and cut out the little square of it on the cover and then show your family that.
Well, I remember going to GameStop when Metal Gear Solid 3 came out, and it's obviously M-rated, and
also like, the fact it's called Snake Eater.
Sucking
dick, boy.
And I went with my dad, I think, or my mom, I forget, but I was convincing them that like, oh no, but like you're not supposed to kill people. You're supposed to be stealthy. It's like bad if you kill people.
That's a good argument.
Yeah, and then I was getting the guy at the GameStop. He was like a real, like a true hero. He's like, oh yeah, definitely. So you're not supposed to. Like you can, but it's definitely not. You're supposed to avoid it at all costs.
What a bro.
Yeah, and so I got
it work? The game.
Yeah. Weirdly enough, I snaked through with that one. That one and the original Fable were the two that I like was able to somehow get my parents to buy.
It's wild that, I guess it's not wild in retrospect because it's probably wasn't super advertised, but it's funny, like the original Fable, like obviously it had violence, but also you could get divorced. cheat on your spouse.
Yeah.
It's like if they would have saw that, you would have been fucking hit with a stick.
I was playing with a friend of mine who he was like, even for our standards, Jehovah's Witness standards, he was super sheltered. And the entire time I was playing, he was like, oh, you should marry that guy. You should marry the guy. Marry the guy.
Be gay in it.
He wanted me to be gay in it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to be gay in it. And funnily enough, he was the one that I stayed the night at his house once and his parents freaked out because they thought we were gay.
Did you say this before?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
His parents freaked out. They're like, why would you want him to spend the night? And we're in like middle school, by the way. And he's like, so we're hanging out and having fun. I'm like, yeah, but he can just go home. what are you trying to do? What are you trying to, why are you this spending the night?
And this is why men don't have, like, men aren't allowed to have male friends, and they struggle because you just get called fucking gay for hanging out with your boys.
Absolutely. It was awful. Yeah. She like, I don't know. I think I had a belt. I had a belt that was like, oh God, it was like a seatbelt. Remember those belts that were like a seat?
That looks like a seatbelt. Yeah.
It was that, but it was like a purplish color.
And you're real gay, dude.
Yeah, dude. While it was nighttime, his mom went through my bag and found that belt and confronted him. And he's like, "Oh, so you're inviting faggots to stay over? Because the only reason why you'd have this belt is if you're gay. You're gay together. You're tying each other up to have sex with this belt, aren't you?"
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, truly crazy.
A lot of projection there. Yeah, when I was in high school, and granted, I grew up in like a shithole small town, so it was obviously magnified, but I was ahead of the curve of like listening to like pop punk emo music. So I was like an early adopter of wearing tight jeans, all the girl jeans, and wearing having my hair really long. And that didn't sit well with some people. You either get called gay or like older, like parents or grandparents would like get really weirded out by men with long hair. And it was like, which is such like a bizarre thing to get, like the girl, like the tight jeans or the girl jeans are one thing, but like a man with long hair is suddenly like controversial.
Yeah, there was like a lot of kids with long hair, at least in my school. I don't know if that's because it was like a more urban area or something, but yeah, we had a lot of that, a lot of skinny jeans, but not too many gay kids, or not too many openly gay kids, only a couple. And they got, you know, viciously harassed.
Of course they did. There was it was one of the schools that, I mean, one of the types of schools or one of the types of towns that like basically only white. And there was like, maybe like a few Mexican kids at my school. And then one, he might have even been half, but one Mexican kid that, you know, he was cool and everyone was friends with him, but everyone thought he was like Native American, and people just call him Chief despite being Mexican, and just call him Black, like Black Joe. And he's very clearly Mexican.
Damn, kids are the best sometimes.
Yeah, just see some, like, you've never seen a black person, so you just assume anyone who's not white is like your default. idea is Native American or black.
It's funny because like the elementary school I went to, me and my sister were like the only white kids. We were like one of like four white kids.
You were in a real inner city school.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I remember there was a kid, I forget, his name was like Demetrius or something. And he would always tell me, Dionysus, he would always say that his dad would go to Mexico to sell Pokemon cards. And that's what he like did for work.
That's an amazing lie.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember his house burned down, which I'm curious if it was like an accident or if this was some sort of like gang related Pokemon card, Mexican card.
Pokemon style. Gang war. It's like a gym battle that leads having Charizard burn down your family.
Team Rocket. But he came to school, and like I remember him and his brother were arguing about whose fault it was that their house burned down, which is pretty funny.
Who was arguing?
The kid Demetrius, and then his brother, his older brother, who's like a fifth grader.
They were blaming each other.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man meme.
Yeah. Truly, for who allowed their house to get burned down, which is crazy because we spent a lot of time doing those fire safety drills where you had to go home and create a plan with your family of how to get out of a fire.
Yeah, kids don't listen to that shit.
No, I try to get my parents to do it, and they're like, "Oh, we're not gonna
we don't give a fuck. Fires aren't real.
It's not gonna matter.
God can create fires in their own bushes."
They were praying that the house would burn down and trap us in it, bring us closer to God.
It was the same thing with. If you ever forced to take a CPR class, I certainly didn't take that seriously. And they still give me like the certification. It's like, I can't fucking save anyone, dude.
Yeah. You just have to sit through it. I think they make you like practice on a dummy like once, but they don't check that you're doing it right or anything.
It was like one of those like types of like the armless, like karate dummies we talked about before. And also a baby as well.
just bringing your own anime body pillow. Like, I'm going to practice on this, actually. I'm practicing for a very specific situation.
doing it on the Mexican kid. It's how you give CPR to a minority, and they just make you put your hand over their mouth.
Yeah, you turn, cover your eyes and turn around.
Rules.
Yeah, there was, yeah, dude, one time in high school, there was, my mom started, it's called studying. It's not the general term, but it's called when you have a Bible study that you meet, like, by knocking on doors, which happens, like, super rarely, because most people just tell you to fuck off, obviously.
Right.
But very rarely you'd get somebody who's interested. Usually it was, like, a poor minority family that didn't understand enough to tell you to leave, or they thought it was, like, an easy way to build their network or, you know, learn English sometimes. A lot of times they would take a Bible study because it was a good way to, like, practice their English or whatever. Mm-hmm. But my mom found this family going door to door, knocking on doors, and started, like, doing a Bible study with the mom and the older son. And the older son was, like, when I was a freshman, he was a senior, I think, in high school, but he was also, like, actually retarded and autistic. Like, he was just a very large, autistic, retarded Mexican kid who didn't understand anything.
What, like 300 pounds?
Yeah. And he was huge too. Just, like, super tall and big. But he just was
very strength.
Yeah. And he really, for whatever reason, really took to studying to become a Jehovah's Witness.
Did he have
and
a big so, ass, by the way? Like the retard ass?
I don't remember. I tried to avoid him at all costs because I was so embarrassed by his, like, existence. Him existing in the same place as me was, like, horrible.
It's an affront to God itself.
I really was uncomfortable for me. And it made more so by, like, I'm trying to go through high school with as few people knowing about my weird fucking religion as possible. But I wasn't at the point of yet being like, oh, my parents are this weird thing, but I don't really believe it. I still, like, believed it, but it was still cringy and embarrassing for me to, like, own up to it. So I just didn't want to, like, I didn't want to have to grapple with that part of my life. And then
sorry, not to digress real quick, but that, yeah, it's funny that you say that, because I feel like maybe it was just, like, in areas we grew up in respectively, but, like, everyone was a, you know, a God fearing person. But if you were overly religious, you were looked at as weird. Which was a fascinating dichotomy.
And we were fucking weird too, because we were the ones that, like, wouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance. We whenever there was, like, a Christmas party, we'd have to go sit in the fucking library. Whenever there was a Valentine's Day thing, we had to go sit in the library.
Oh,
whenever
that's rough.
Wheeled in the fucking TV to watch a Christmas movie, we had to go sit in the library. Whenever Harry Potter was talked about, we had to go sit in the library.
What's wrong with Valentine's Day?
It's any holiday. You're not allowed to do any holiday.
I thought it was just, like, Christmas. I didn't know.
No,
it was any.
They all have, like, pagan origins. You're not allowed to do anything.
No holidays.
And it's, like, also it's, like, really embarrassing when it's your birthday, and then if the teacher knows and tries to, like, do something fun as a surprise, you have to be like, oh no, I can't accept this. And then later they would teach you, like, oh, you can tell them, like, I can't accept this on behalf of my birthday, but if you just want to give me a gift for another reason, I will happily accept this non-denominational cake.
Just a whole explanation.
Dude, it's so
some kid in the back's like, fag.
Truly, yeah, dude, it was awful. So just trying to avoid it at all costs. And so then come in this, like, blubbering retard, this giant retard, who is now full of zeal for this weird fucking religion. He would bring all of the literature he could find on it, like, from the church, and he would pass it out to his classmates. And so obviously they made fun of him relentlessly. And there was one fucking, like, I don't know, there's one, like, brochure or booklet or something that the church made that was about, like, questions teens have. And there was a section in there about masturbation.
How to do the Konami code.
And it was on, like, masturbation and why you shouldn't do it and why it's really dangerous. And so obviously all these fucking, like, high schoolers thought it was so funny, and so they requested, like, a million of them. And so he goes to the church and requests, like, 100 of these fucking jerk off brochures, and then is passing them out in the school. So I'm walking through the hallways, and like floors are littered with my religions, my cringe religions, like sex is bad brochures.
No penis touching instructions.
Dude, it fucking sucks. Yeah. Yeah. It would even say stuff like you should be careful not to sleep in certain positions, because you could, if you have like a pillow between your legs, you can stimulate your dick and or your pussy, and that's, you know, even though you're not actually jerking off, you're still like trying to skirt the lines, and so it's still, you know, off limits.
So what would you say your theory is as to why there's a lot of inherent human shame about sexuality, that rules get developed around it to justify? Like, why, no, I'm asking, why does that happen? Like, what would you say if you, I mean, if you share that belief of my belief of that, like, why would you say that there's a lot of like religious groups or other individuals or other groups of people that are non-religious that like have that inherent shame?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in at least in the United States, you can probably trace it back to like puritanical origins, right? Like literally.
But before that though, like the biological or like evolutionary basis to be ashamed of sex.
I wonder if it is like, because before we evolved into modern humans, we would just like club the biggest monkey, the monkey with the biggest ass and biggest hairy tits, and drag it back to a cave and just make it a slave, right? And like reproduce with it like that. And so as we've evolved to be able to form ourselves into societies, we've dictated that, like, you know, that behavior is not okay. I don't know. I don't know where the shame comes from, I guess. But it probably didn't though, because I think you can look back at cultures that aren't like Christian in nature or like Western religion in nature, and they weren't as uptight about sexuality or nudity or things like that. You know, there's a lot of like pagan shit that's like very openly sexual.
No, you're right. Yeah, I was actually kind of thinking about that as I said it, because it's not broadly every individual group that's ever like developed on every continent or within every, you know, what you would call country or specific geographic region now, but maybe it's mostly a Western thing. Or, but it's just so fucking weird. It's like, because like you have the natural impulse, both men and women, but especially men, that obviously, and this isn't fucking, you know, figuring out new ground that hasn't been talked about ad nauseum. But you obviously have like the inherent biological impulse to like, not only to fuck, but to like fuck as much as possible to ensure you like foster progeny. You know what I mean? Or procreate. But like, I don't see like the purpose of like why you would, you know, try to expunge or like prevent that from happening, unless like there's some sort of other weird tribal reason to discourage from people from having sex out of like safety, maybe something.
Yeah. Probably safety. Probably because like, also I think early on, once, you know, past the raping stage, I do think that like
that's Mikey's in that stage after the sex stage.
Yeah, level 36, the rape stage. Never thought I'd be in the rape stage.
It's like a fucking hidden Mario level.
You have to get the whistle and play it. You're gonna warp right to it. The rape whistle. But like, I think serial monogamy was the go-to method for creating the strongest family unit and like the strongest lineage, because you would find one person to have as many kids with as possible. That way you like protect your own gene pool as much as possible, instead of like fucking all of the women and like creating a bunch of like bastard kids everywhere.
I have a point on that after you're done, actually.
No, but I think as society evolved, we came up with these like weird rules, and like things kind of settled naturally in a way that made the most sense. I don't know. I have no idea.
To the thing that you just said, have you heard of the Coolidge effect?
No, I don't think, maybe. No,
it's anecdotally named after former Prez Calvin Coolidge. Maybe that's true. I don't know. It's hard to tell. I didn't really look into the actual story, but that's what it's attributed to. And it's essentially like the something that he observed at like a zoo or something. Can't exactly remember. But the idea that basically it actually applies to both men and women, but it's have of more of like a bio, like it's more interesting from a biological perspective for men, that like there's like an evolutionary benefit to introducing. I noticed this in like, you know, apes or some sort of monkeys, that the refractory period for men dramatically decreases when you introduce new partners to them. And right. I think the theory behind it is that like there's like a evolutionary biological like impulse to like want to, you know, have children with as many different people as possible. And, you know, maybe that traces back to like, you know, fucking tribal life where you're just kind of moving around and fucking and stealing people's like girlfriends and shit.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that like there is like that built-in mechanism that you respond to it. And of course, poly people are disgusting, so I don't encourage that. But, well, there's the shame part, I guess, so maybe I believe in that.
You know, it's funny, like we've talked about it a lot on the show, and I do, it's like, it's interesting to see it really gaining popularity in recent years, like
poly
being
stuff.
Poly or being open, having like open relationships, or I think, I mean, I don't know, it's part of the thing where there are people that probably for whatever reason are incapable of being in monogamous relationships, like they just can't do it, and so the alternative to being in an open relationship is just being in a like private, like just cheating, like constantly cheating. And so I think there's some value in allowing, and also I just like, I am just very much a person who like, you should do what you want as long as it's not hurting anybody. So if you want to have a fucking polycule and play Settlers of Catan with your like wife's boyfriend or whatever, like you should do it. But I do wonder how this shapes people going forward. If this isn't like a fad, and if it does like have staying power, if you do see more and more, like I just know it like anecdotally from people I know in my real life who are like in open type things. I don't know. It's hard to tell if that's something that's going to stick around. And I know it's like typically people are in open relationships until they have a kid, and then those open relationships close. Just cause it's like weird to have a very sexually open environment when you have a baby to raise.
It's which is why it seems fundamentally both the responsible and the necessary thing to do to not introduce that kind of chaos or shakiness to raising a child, because it confuses them.
And yeah, for sure.
They need that attachment to like static figures in their life.
Yeah. There's an interesting, it's funny cause I always take like evolutionary biology with like a grain of salt, because like how the fuck could you ever know? It's all like a million assumptions predicated on other assumptions and using like partial data from random shit we can find, like very minimal written evidence or even like fossil record evidence or whatever. But there's the gay uncle theory. Have you heard of that?
No, but this sounds cool. I want to hear more.
The gay uncle theory is something about how it might have been a biological safety mechanism to have like a small percentage of whatever family group have a gay family member, like to assist in child rearing, kind of. Let me look it up. It's something like that.
What to the idea being this explains why there's gay people.
Yeah. Let's see here. Where
interesting. So is this one of those things that like, well, I mean, I guess it was like you're saying, and there are aspects of, I guess, a fair amount of like evolutionary biology and like biomechanics and shit that I believe in, but there are certainly some wacky things that people just make large leaps in logic to explain.
Yeah, which is fine as long as, like, I feel like it's fun and helpful to make those, like, leaps of logic, but as long as they're, like, acknowledged as being that and not, like, settled science or whatever. But Yeah, okay, the gay uncle hypothesis posits that people who themselves do not have children may nonetheless increase the prevalence of their family's genes in future generations by providing resources, food, supervision, defense, shelter, to the offspring of their closest relatives.
So, interesting. So, is there, like, is there any sort of, like, attempt at research to, like, to prove that that's, like, a real thing?
So, there is weird, like... there is weird biological indicators for gay people. Biological differences in gay men and lesbian women. Gay men...
Yeah, that's why there's, like, a... I mean... And ironically, it's like, that's why there's like traditionally, like you can tell if someone's gay by looking at them, quote unquote.
Yeah.
There's something there, man.
There is. And like, dude, I feel like it's something that there's been like a lot of research on, but no like satisfying answers, which is like the gay accent, which is, it's very easy to say like, oh, it's a learned behavior based
but
on.
But it's not. If you don't grow up around gay people, how is it learned?
I know. And that people still have the little accent. It's crazy. Yeah, it says... some studies have found correlations between physiology of people and their sexuality. Gay men and straight women have, on average, equally proportioned brain hemispheres. Lesbian women and straight men have, on average, slightly larger right brain hemispheres. Gay men report, on average, slightly longer and thicker penises than gay men. Okay, I don't know about that.
That's a big old lie.
There's one about hands. Where is it? Oh, wait. The functioning of the inner ear in the central auditory system in lesbians and bisexual women are more like the functional properties found in men than in non-gay women. Okay. Gay. Where's the hand one? There's a hand. Oh, finger length ratios between index and ring fingers have been reported to differ on average between non-gay and lesbian women.
Yeah, that is a thing. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Gay men and lesbians are significantly more likely to be left-handed or ambidextrous than non-gay men and women. Simon LeVay argues that because hand preference is observable before birth, the observation of increased non-right-handedness in gay people is therefore consistent with the idea that sexual orientation is influenced by the prenatal processes, perhaps hereditary. Wow. Oh, dude, this is so... A study of over 50 gay men... Okay, that's not that many. Found that...
A study of, like, the one gay man I talked to.
The one gay man I like, gave a fucking swirly to. said he didn't like it. So 100% of gay people don't like swirlies. A study of over 50 gay men found that about 23% had counterclockwise hair whirl as opposed to 8% in the general population.
Hair whirl?
Hair whirl. WHORL, what is that? Oh, it's like your cowlick, like which way your hair spins on your head.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. That's actually a good point.
That's so fucking weird. Gay men have increased ridge densities in the fingerprints of their left thumbs and little fingers.
So, like, does that mean deeper ridges in your fingers?
Wait, have increased ridge density. Oh god, now I'm paranoid about my gay hand. I have gay hands.
I think this is literally like a thing, like the PUA or like the losers on the PUA subculture and like the incel subcultures would obsess over.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, they're sanding down their thumb ridges so they don't have gay thumbs.
Yeah, it's like, here's a picture of my hand. Am I gay? And someone's like, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, you're a thumb ridge cell. Mine looked the same. My thumb ridges look the same, and my little finger ridges look the same. So, whew, dodge the fucking bullet.
Look the same
there.
As in like the interior.
Like the ridge density. So I think like how many ridges you have or how close together the ridges are.
Am I gay? Look at my hand.
Like there's no way the resolution is going to,
there you go.
I can barely see you. No.
All right, whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
Am I gay? And I just show you my dick.
your dick ridges, the density of your dick ridges are really pointing to you being gay.
That'd be sick. What if my dick looked like Neapolitan ice cream?
That'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Neapolitan is chocolate, strawberry, and what else?
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
You could probably make that happen.
Probably. Yeah. Have get some one kinky, part of it have, tanned.
I was going to say have like kinky sex with a woman on her period. I feel like you could.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You could definitely do a little bit of anal, do a little bit of vaginal, and then have a Neapolitan dick, you know?
That would be sick. They need like be really multicultural. The perfect mixed race, mixed ethnicity, baby.
There's a really dumb Reddit like repeated joke about a particular porn star that has a uniquely colored dick. Two-tone Malone. Are you familiar?
No. Any relation to Post?
I don't think so. I think he predates Post. It's a guy who his dick is split into the like two very different color tones.
I haven't heard of this.
And so whenever he is on a sex gif that's posted to Reddit, the first comment will always be two in all capital letters, and the next one under that would be tone. And
Speaking of sex gifs, did you ever see the
they somehow made talking about another man's dick even gayer than it is by itself?
Yeah, well, what a shock. Redditors will not fail to achieve anything fucking terribly embarrassing. Speaking of sex gifs, did you ever see the tweet from the guy who played Hank on Breaking Bad, and he clearly thought Twitter was Google, and he typed in sex gifs and posted it?
I did. Insane.
Just the phrase. It's like, you're not even looking at porn. You're just looking at like three frame gifs.
Yeah. He probably got some good recommendations though. I'm sure people gave him.
Oh, of sex gifs.
Yeah. People probably gave him some really good ones.
You think he had enough stardom that, I mean, he's probably married, I guess. But hypothetically, you think he had enough stardom that he had female fans?
Oh, my God, yeah. He was on one of the most popular television shows of all time. Like, he absolutely, like, people with way less stardom get female fans, you know?
That's true, yeah. It's funny. I mean, you're right, and I've never thought about it. Like, obviously, you compare it to something like Mad Men, which does have a pretty distinct an obvious element of sexuality to the show. And John Hamm's like a handsome dude. So everyone like, you know, is like, oh, he's so hot. And, you know, he also has these female fans and shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've never thought about conceptually that there's probably a fair amount for like Walt / Bryan Cranston. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just thinking about that.
Walt Jr.
Yeah. I guarantee there's some for that.
Oh, dude. He's handsome. Yeah. And I think seeing him in like interviews and stuff, he definitely plays up his cerebral palsy for the show.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he just he like sleeps with fangirls and hits them with his crutches.
Yeah, that's real sex.
Yeah, you ever seen that that famous I don't know the fucking names, but they're pretty famous, I think, on TikTok and shit. And maybe Instagram or maybe all social media, whatever. It's like this like little dwarf guy who has like this basically terrible like disfigurative disease where he's like in a wheelchair and he hasn't grown and he can't like move much of his body, and he's with this like very normal looking girl that some consider hot.
Yes, I have seen this. Yeah.
I don't know their names, but they're very easily recognizable, and I don't know, it reminds me of that. And there's like a lot of like men who lament the fact that like this guy can get laid and I can, I'm a loser. But then you also have to think about like, you know, there's something clearly one wrong with this girl. No shame to, you know, my man, who good for him at the end of the day, but also like, there's an element of probably mutual exploitation of fame from both of them, which I guess is a good business move.
I wonder, let's see, this is, I found them.
Would you look up blonde girl and handicap retard?
I looked up two normal couples, nothing weird about it, and you know, I found it. Just two or three results down. Okay, she's definitely hot. I mean, there's no question about it.
It's a first glance. You think she is when you first look at her.
You'll see.
She's like average. Also,
I don't know about that. She looks very hot here. Big blue eyes. She's okay.
Let it play. Let it run.
And I'm Shane. This is a vlog about our lives.
Yeah, there we go.
Expectations about romantic relationships.
Our sense of humor is probably the biggest thing.
I ordered a short snack because I wasn't that hungry.
First of all, props to him. Seems like a cool dude. Second of all, she looks insane. Like, not ugly insane, but like, there's like a deep, unsettling, evil element to her eyes.
I think you have an innate distrust of women.
Why would you say that?
That's how their relationship of years.
I mean, I guess if he had like a normal, the rest of him, he'd be like a normal looking dude.
Yeah,
and this would make sense.
Yeah, they would be roughly on the same level.
Your email was a little flirty.
Yeah, though.
It was.
You were like, hey, you have a lot in common. Also, you're really cute.
Yeah, well, I was tired.
What a funny image of them.
Minnesota and she in Pennsylvania. But eventually, Shane moved to the Minneapolis area to be with Hannah.
And I wonder if he actually has really good game.
My whole life.
I want to see his left thumb ridge density, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is it the deeper that's the gear?
No,
and then
the more, the closer together your ridges are on your thumb and your left thumb.
The other end of the spectrum.
And I wonder if they fight and she just like pushes him over. Like, when they fight,
throws a golf club into his spokes.
Or he's like, "You're fucking a cripple, you dumb whore." Yeah, all right. I guess she's not as bad as I remember.
No, she's very attractive.
Paris,
Paris. Isn't that song about that?
Reminds me of Eric the Midget from Howard Stern Show.
I'm not familiar.
Just he looks like this, basically. Mm. Might have the same disease. Do they have a name? Like a couple name?
Mm.
Oh man, wish I would have met up with them.
There is something like. I'm not saying that they're like there's not real what they have, but there's something off about it. The fact that she messaged him after seeing him, like they didn't just like meet up in a fucking like I don't know mini golf tournament or something. I don't know. Like,
agreed.
The fact that she sought him out is a little bit strange, I guess. Maybe
no,
it shouldn't be strange, but it seems a little bit strange to me.
No, it is strange. Like, I mean, there's no fucking denying it. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna say that whatever they have is totally fake. Who knows? Maybe it is. I don't really fucking care at the end of the day. But there's also, like, an element of, like, and this ties all back into our conversation in a strange way that, like, we have a natural, like, degree of repulsion to seeing people who are ill in various states. And for her not to have that is indicative of something being a little wrong with her. And I'm not saying that they should both be killed. Maybe I am. But nah, JK. But no, there is something fundamentally fucking weird about it.
It's,
you know?
Yeah. Here's a New York Post. And it's funny you said that too, because I watched. Have you ever seen the movie Species or the Species series?
Is that the David Arquette one?
It's the horny one.
It's a movie.
Mm-hmm. It's
got David Arquette in it.
Does it? I'm not sure.
I think so. Species movie.
It came out in 95, I think.
Oh no. No, you're right. What the fuck am I thinking of?
The premise of Species is that I just watched it. They just put them all on HBO. You should check them out. It's a movie that they don't really make anymore. It's like a R-rated erotic thriller, kind of, where it's just kind of it's a vehicle to show off this naked woman over and over and over again, and have like softcore sex scenes. And the idea is that the aliens contacted or the humans put out a signal into space, and years later, someone sent a signal back that gave them instructions on how to make clean burning methane, which is like, solving the energy crisis. And then they also gave instructions on, they gave a sample of alien DNA and instructions on how to mix it with human DNA. And so they do that and they put it into an egg and they grow it artificially into like this little girl, and it, she like grows up extremely fast. So she, her entire like gestation period was like 2 weeks. And then in 4 weeks, she goes from being like a toddler to being like 12. And then in like one more week, she goes, they decide that she's growing too quickly. She's too powerful or whatever. So they try to gas her in this chamber, and then, she breaks out and is free. So the whole movie, they're trying to hunt her down, and she grows up into this, like, she goes into this fucking cocoon, and she comes out and she's this naked hot woman. And so she wants to mate. And so she's going around trying to fuck somebody.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I have seen this.
The movie fucking rules. It's also the designs for the aliens are, what's the guy that did, he did the original Xenomorph design in Alien.
H.R.
Geiger. Yeah. So it's based off of H.R. Geiger designs. And sick. So she's like fucking her way, or trying. Anyways, what's relevant about that is she's trying to hook up with this random guy she meets at a club. She goes home and she takes a shower, and then she
kills him, doesn't he?
She changes her mind. She doesn't want to, and so he tries to force her, and so she like, you know, rips his head off or something. And then the team that's chasing her goes to that house and is like looking at stuff. She's like, oh, I wonder why she changed her mind. She wanted to mate. What was wrong? And it was like, oh, she possesses an innate ability to sense like what would be good for her offspring. And they like search around his apartment and find out that he has a bunch of needles and he's a diabetic, and so she doesn't want to fucking procreate with a diabetic.
It's funny that I completely remember this now, because I also remember it being very confusing that she's like, it has that like fucking anime loli shit going on, because she's played by a hot actress despite the fact she's still like 12.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, she's 12 in the very beginning, but then she goes into a cocoon and she eats a train attendant, and she becomes she becomes older and sexy.
By the way, the movie I was thinking about was Eight-Legged Freaks, so not related at all.
No, not very different. Equally sexy though. It's a good movie. They don't make movies like that anymore. Like they like kind of like a shitty erotic thriller, you know.
Yeah, anymore. There's a lot more. I don't know if shame's the right word, but there's a lot more like reticence to doing like over sexualized, like fun, like 2000s-esque late 90s movies.
Yeah, it's for probably for good reason. People are worried about all the Hollywood sex allegations and stuff.
Someone doing a Harvey Weinstein biopic where he just like fucks a lot.
He gets his weird pussy dick eaten out. he would never. He didn't want to fuck. He always would just eat out the women. That's all he did.
Yeah, because he had like a gangrenous dick.
Yeah, he had some sort of, because he injected it with too much random shit. It's very strange. But yeah,
injecting it with like Kool-Aid, fucking Hawaiian punch.
He didn't understand. He wanted to be hip, and he didn't understand the Tide Pod challenge until he injected his dick with a bunch of Tide. He tried to have a Neapolitan dick, and he fucked it up.
Yeah. He's like, I want to be Two Tone Junior.
Trolls say my disabled husband can't satisfy me, but they're wrong.
My cat's sneezing. Do you hear that?
Wow, yeah,
it's an intense sneeze. I think she's sick. I gotta take her to the vet.
Damn.
Poor insane kitty cat.
A couple have taken to YouTube to reveal that cruel trolls mock their relationship and their sex life. Shane Bracow was born with spinal muscular atrophy and has used wheelchair since age 2. He met Hannah Alward after she reached out to him online, tied the knot in 2020.
They're doing like OnlyFans shit now, aren't they?
No, there's no way, right?
I want to look this up while you're describing this.
Hannah,
now, OnlyFans.
Shane revealed that people often mistake Hannah for his nurse or caregiver, treat him like a child, or assume he's incapable. And now the couple have taken to YouTube on an episode of Style Like You to open up about their sexuality. The video is uploaded with the caption "Laughing at Your Ableist BS" and is a part of the Style Like You series that sees diverse individuals claim self-acceptance by stripping down to open up about style, self-image, and identity.
This is wild.
they perceive that I can't have sex and they're very limited missionary man fucks woman. They think that is the end, be all end all of sex. Little do they know our intimacy benefits from my disability, and our intimacy is not just me enjoying it. It doesn't look like what you see in the movies, but I can totally do it.
Well, good for her. She should probably get a fucking life. She can't believe she has, I just looked, she has like 1 million followers on Instagram.
That makes
sense.
Can
you imagine that? She fucking won the lottery. All she has to do is like fucking fuck this guy every now and again and rake it in. Here we go.
Wait, let me.
This is. Are they going to fuck each other on camera? Is this what's going on?
I don't think so.
The best part about our partnership is the comfort that we have with each other. I cannot overstate how like little space I need from Shane. Like that's just so weird to me.
I know that our life is and will continue to be hilarious and fun and full of adventure. I feel for the first time in my life like I'm not a burden, because Hannah is wholly there for me and doesn't feel burdened by me.
Well, probably as a result of this, he's probably fucking getting flooded in the DMs by women now.
Yeah.
I need to start again.
Talk about a fucking celebrity.
What?
Why did they strip? Or like semi-strip? Oh, that's more disgusting. Whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah, it just flew up. Who knows? But good for him. I mean, he really fucking, you know, knocked out of the park.
Wouldn't it be sick if he like came out and was like a Nazi?
He gets canceled.
He just dresses him up in a little SS uniform.
Yeah, our sex doesn't look like normal people's. We're only into race play.
He like shows up to like a Black Lives Matter rally and tries to run over people in his electric chair.
But he has a Dodge Challenger body on it.
That would be sick. Yeah, it's like fucking Twisted Metal type shit, and he puts like two machine guns on either side of it.
Damn, that'd be sick. That's what he calls sex. Yeah, our sex doesn't look like normal sex. Him just putting lawnmower blades on either side of his wheelchair, driving it through the mall.
He's fucking chopping people in half.
Damn, that'd be sick as hell.
What a king.
But yeah, so, you know, we can close it out.
Oh, he met Joe Biden, too? What the fuck is this joke, dude?
Joe Biden
doesn't even know what's going on. You know, dude.
Joe Biden's like, I met the maid from the Jetsons earlier. No, it's just, I was thinking about Saw, and yeah, I liked Saw X. I was a little bit. I was a little bit bummed that the poster, the image from the poster, the guy with the eye tubes was just a fantasy, you know, just like sequence. Yeah. That was kind of a bummer.
But still, I mean, it showed it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
It is really, really funny to me, though, the types of people he subjects to his fucking bizarre traps. Like,
more sense, though.
Yeah,
in terms
of
evilness. Sorry, go ahead, though.
No, it's just like for the most minor indiscretions, it's like, Jose, you've worked as a dishwasher for 10 years, but you keep on inefficiently loading the machine. You're wasting so much water and energy. For that, I'm going to put your dick in a dishwasher and turn it on.
Yeah, no, I get it. Like, the first movie, which is the only one I've seen, it was like, they think this guy is cheating on his wife, but he actually didn't, and he's still getting punished.
Yeah, like,
I'm not supposed to feel bad for, or, I mean, I'm not supposed to like cheer the fact that this guy's getting fucking killed.
But he also, wasn't it also in the first one? I feel like I've seen all of them, but I cannot remember a single thing besides the first one and the one I just saw. But wasn't it, it was his doctor, and he was like doing his rounds and talking to like the med students, and he kept on calling fucking Jigsaw. He was like, the patient, you know, the patient has this, the patient has this. And then some random guy was like, his name's John. Use his name.
His name's
John.
Yeah. And then no, that does happen.
He's like, all right, someone get the fucking retard out of here. And he's like, what I was saying, the patient has very dense left-hand thumb ridges. But yeah, so he wasn't even, he was mad that he was maybe cheating and also maybe kind of didn't have good bedside manners or something. I don't know. Very, that's very fucking crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
Then he tortures the other guy that he makes him take pictures.
Yeah, that guy sucked.
Supposed affair.
I'd fucking torture that guy too.
Yeah, that guy did suck.
That guy super sucks.
The big reveal at the end where you realize that John Jigsaw has, you know, been nude in the middle of the floor jacking off the entire time.
Dude, have you ever seen how he's... like paid attention to how he sits up at the very end of the movie? He sits up in the most sexual way imaginable. Let me
I just saw this. I can't remember how he got up.
Let me see if I can find an image of it. Wait, damn, that's gonna be really hard to find.
He gets up ass first.
It's gonna be hard to find. I'll find it.
Nude John fan art.
Rule 34 Jigsaw. Oh, I bet that exists. Oh my god.
Oh, it 100% exists.
Where the fuck is it?
Jigsaw and Pyramid Head from Silent Hill 2 fucking.
Oh my god, I can't find it. I thought it would be on the top of all time in the Saw subreddit. Can you imagine posting on the Saw subreddit?
The Saw subreddit.
I thought
that's more disturbing than fucking Hannah and Shane or whatever his name's relationship.
Okay, hang on. Maybe. See, I don't find that disturbing at all. I find it kind of wholesome and nice.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
It's kind of like yours, and that's you in the wheelchair.
There we go. I found it. Look at the way he gets up. He gets up so sexually. Why is he doing this?
I'm waiting for it to load. Oh, he does do that.
He sits up so fucking weird. So he sits up like a dog.
Why did he set up like this?
Yeah, it's disgusting. And also the idea that an old man, maybe he like dosed himself with fucking like benzos or something, but his foot is in like a weird position that whole time. And they're in there for hours. I don't believe that he could be that still. Again, maybe he took weird medicine or something.
It's a fun reveal for the purposes of a movie. It is fun. But also, he would have fucking moved. Old cancer riddled dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, they like hit him with shit, and he would have reacted to it.
Yeah. See, me, first thing I would have done if I woke up in there, I'd immediately pee on that dead body. I'd pee all over.
Oh, 100%.
Right in the face and nose and mouth, and then just to make sure. Because my first thought would be, I don't trust it. I don't trust this guy in the middle of the room here.
Yeah, why would you not inspect the dead body? Like,
yeah, or just like you're bored and sort of throw shit at it, you know? Throw random shit.
You and the other guy play tug of war with
it. Yeah, it was. They did that weird kind of. Okay, I did feel there were times in this movie, and I don't know if this is just maybe me getting older or me like not watching a lot of horror movies recently, but there were a few times in this movie, Saw X, where I was like, "Oof, that's kind of gnarly." So specifically, the woman who had to use that gigolo saw on her leg.
In the new one.
In the new one, that was pretty fucking gnarly to me.
That was gnarly. Those first two were unfair, for the record.
They were very unfair.
The third one was way easier.
She had to use that gigolo saw, take her leg off, and then she had to put a syringe into
suck out the bone marrow,
and then the bone marrow had to push down a lever. It's too fucking insane. And I also feel like some of those people get out so easy. Like the pill addicted girl, the guy in the fucking fantasy with the eye tubes, where all he had to do was turn a dial and it'd break all his fingers. Like,
that's what I was thinking. You just fucking do it all at once.
Turn the fucking dial. Like, that's, I understand it hurts, but compared to all the other fucking shit he makes those people do, like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it would fucking hurt, but also like it would heal.
Yeah.
You know, if you just like set it back.
And the girl, the Amanda that they bring back in this movie, and maybe in the other ones, but she's in the first movie with the reverse bear trap thing, remember?
Yeah.
Her task wasn't that crazy. It was like it was nothing involving hurting herself. It was like the key to your fucking bear trap. Oh, you had to
dig in the body. Yeah.
You had to dig in the body of this guy who's going to die anyways. And it's like, who cares? I would do that in a fucking second. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
Like that's not a problem.
The disparity in the punishment between all these people was really like, he didn't know what he's fucking doing.
Dude. Yeah.
Little John Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like compared to like the fucking leg chopped off girl in the new one, and also the guy who had to cut out part of his brain. It's like, dude, first of all, that was really unfair.
Yeah.
Even though he did something fucked up. And then you give it to like the pill addict girl. All she had to do was fucking break her wrist and foot. And also yeah, you could get out of that without doing that, for the record. Yeah.
Also, I found it very funny that the whole premise of this movie is that he was basically scammed by Indian telemarketers into a cancer cure.
No, dude, I wonder if there was a boomer director and writer.
Oh, must have been.
He got scammed on Facebook, and this is his ultimate revenge fantasy.
It was really funny to, like, that is his whole thing, is being super pissed that he got, like, of course that's not going to work, dude. Like, what are you talking about? It's so, oh God, it's so funny.
What a flick. Yeah, highly recommended. Saw Sex.
Yeah, go see Saw Sex. Another movie, I don't know if you've seen it. It came out a while back. This year, though, it's called Talk to Me. It's a fucking
fucking like that movie at all.
Really? I liked it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, so did a friend of mine. But I thought it was, maybe we can get to it later, but I thought it was fucking boring. The premise was fine, I guess, but I thought it was boring. I thought the actors in it fucking sucked. And I feel like it was trying to make you care about the central drama to this girl and about her life. And I felt like I didn't give a fuck at all.
Huh. I liked the premise of like getting high on ghosts.
That is kind of cool.
They're just like doing like spiritual whippets is like really fun to me.
And spiritual, that is a good way of putting it. And also, like, obviously the scene was good where the little brother
smash his face.
Yeah, UFC'd his face on the table or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, it makes the like central like drama and like being sad about your mom, like that stuff's pretty gay, but like I thought it was pretty effective with its like gore and scares, and the premise again I think is fun. A bunch of high schoolers using talking to dead people as drugs is fun.
Maybe we can get into this again, but like I've been talking about this actually, the same subject of like, It doesn't always necessarily mean a horror movie is bad, but what is the fucking obsession with a lot of modern horror movies? Not just being horror, they have to have like, this is actually a story about trauma and mental illness and anxiety. It's like, can't you just fucking be a spooky, gross movie?
But I mean, to be fair, like a lot of those movies, I mean, not like the slasher movies of the 80s or whatever, but like a lot of movies now are that. But to me, I'm okay with that as long as the like surface level story works on its own. Like if the surface level story is like fun and exciting and engaging enough, and there's like a deeper contextual subplot to it, like that's fine. Or deeper meaning to all of it, that's fine. But it has to be fun, make sense on its own as just like a goofy movie.
Agreed. And my suspicion is that, I think Hereditary is good, but I think it also kicked this whole thing off. TBH.
Hereditary is really good, but that's another one where, like, even if you don't think about any of it at all more than, like, ooh, man, a spooky demon is, like, fucking with this family, that movie's really good just with that. But then, obviously, you can, like, dig into it a little bit more. And that's where I think Midsommar is a little bit worse in that it dwells on the like underlying themes a little bit too much, which is why I think Hereditary is a better movie. But
yeah, no, I get that. But and it's like, I mean, I've already went on about my love for Beau Is Afraid, despite it being literally the thing I complain about.
That movie, yeah, the part,
it's not always black and white.
The thing about Beau Is Afraid that there needs to be a fucking moratorium on cardboard like dream sequences. Like, and I'm over that. I don't want that.
Are you fucking serious? I love that. I love that scene.
I did not. I don't need it.
What's another example? What do you mean? Fucking cardboard dream scene.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that kind of.
You got one?
I'm gonna edit in a big list of me reading for 30 minutes.
Making it up.
No, I'm not. It's I don't have a specific example, but I feel it in my gut that I don't need that. I will say the first 20 minutes of Beau is Afraid is perfect. What a good like reveal. The setup for it is so good. The slow burn into it. I really like that movie a lot. And it's very weird how that movie absolutely came and went with like zero fanfare or anything. I feel like that movie was in theaters for like 3 days and then I never saw anything about it ever again.
Cause it was 100% the kind of movie that he made out of some, like, it was just like pure artistry in the sense of like, you go out with the intention of making something because you want to make it, knowing full well that it will probably appeal to no one except people who really like movies.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And also the end scene where he had his like defense lawyer in that big arena.
Oh yeah.
Where you could barely hear him. That was the ending of that movie was really good too. It's just somewhere in the middle. I feel like it lost me a little bit, but I think 80% of it I'm super on board with, and I need to watch it again. I just didn't. Can you even watch that movie now? Can you like rent it?
Yeah, you can. You can rent it.
Okay, I might watch that again.
I kind of get what you mean. I think like the probably the biggest lull in the movie is when he's like talking with his mom. It's just kind of whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and then another movie I saw recently. We'll close it out on this is VHS 85.
God damn it, dude! I'm about to watch that very soon.
Okay,
in the next couple days.
Okay, well, I'm gonna hold my opinions on it, and we'll talk about it on the next episode.
That means you think it thinks it's you nope, think
I'm
it
not gonna
sucks.
Say, not gonna say anything about it. Thanks so much for listening to this. Will be the premium episode, I think, unless something happens. But. Yeah,
that's so not make plug fucking anything. VHS 23 while I just make six stories about me killing you.
VHS 2012. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Okay.